B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We had the Toucher and Rich radio program from the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. We're also on Twitch, the app, and the crazy new internet thing. You can visit twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub and watch the show live, or you can go get your Twitch app and do the same thing. Big weekend. Over there, you had the football games that if you wanted to watch them, you sat there and you watched them.
Great. Four great games. Some better than others, but all I know is that our program director this morning is staring into big dark space as a Bears fan.
He has a Bears tattoo right on the shoulder there.
They deserve to lose, man. Yeah. It wasn't just that kick. They deserve to lose, but... The Trubisky story, unfortunately, ends a little bit earlier than most people had hoped.
Yeah, he's never going to be good.
He was all right. I mean,
he was
this
fine.
Season, he was good. At the end of the season, he was pretty good.
He's not. No. He's not a guy you win a Super Bowl with. That guy.
You saw him
against the Patriots. I mean, I was amazed that Chicago was in the game. I mean, he's that defense is unbelievable. But if you're the defense, you look across the field and watch Trubisky try and win a game for you.
That's not going to happen.
Nah.
All I know is that my statement that I made several years ago that Nick Foles is a better quarterback than Cam Newton is just continuing to prove that I'm pretty damn smart when it comes to evaluation of quarterbacks.
If you're the Eagles, and honest to God, I was just reading something on Friday that said the Eagles are going to trade Nick Foles regardless of what happens after the season's over. And Carson, if Foles does it again, gets the team to the Super Bowl, don't you at least have to look?
They'll keep him. They'll find some way to keep him. You can't, if he wins two Super Bowls in a row for you.
You have to look and see what you could possibly get for Wentz. It's just, you have to at least explore that possibility.
In fairness, he did throw that one touchdown pass.
He got the team down the field and threw the touchdown pass when it mattered.
Yep. He threw a touchdown pass.
And yes, he did.
Listen, every game he's been back in, like, the guy's been good. Since he's been back, he's been good.
I don't know if I'd say he was good last night.
No, he's not. Well, he wasn't great last night. The Bears' defense is amazing. He wasn't great last night.
Is he one of the reasons they won?
Yes.
Okay.
He was.
There you go.
I'm not a huge Nick Foles fan.
How can you not be?
Oh, I don't know.
No, honestly, like, what has he done in the last 2 years that doesn't make you say, this guy's a really good quarterback?
Well, no, in the regular season, he hasn't been great. He hasn't been. I'm just saying, when it comes time to play in the playoffs,
he does just enough to get it done.
Yeah. Well, he wins playoff games.
Super Bowl wasn't just enough. I mean, that was an unbelievable performance. Actually, the playoffs last year, He was unbelievable.
Well, last night he was not.
But he was one of the reasons they won.
Well, you could say Trubisky was one of the reasons they won if they make that field goal, and Trubisky sucks. So I was not overwhelmed with the performance of Nick Foles. And apparently neither are the Eagles, because they are Wentz crazy. They've gone Wentz crazy over there.
That will be interesting, though, John. If they do, let's say they
you
do
have
win
to
the Super
at least
Bowl.
Look at it.
You can't get rid of them if they win a Super Bowl. You got to keep them.
Well, I mean, the other way to look at it is the Eagles will get a first-round draft pick for sure. Now,
yes.
For him, which is all you can want, all you can ask for.
Right.
I mean, right. I think they turned down an offer of a 2 last season after the Super Bowl. But if Foles gets them, if Foles goes to New Orleans and wins, you're probably going to get a first-round pick for him.
I would imagine. And if Foles goes to New Orleans and wins, that is quite the upset, because that's...
It's like 9 points, I think, a 9-point spread.
I think that they have the odds of New Orleans winning about whatever stupid stats that they use at 78%.
But New Orleans has not looked great near the end of the season. I mean, for as great as they looked throughout the regular season.
77.4, Fred. Early, whatever ESPN's FBI projection means, 77.4%.
They take
all the
factors.
Of course, the Patriots are only 62.1, so.
Well, lowest of all the top seeds.
Yep.
Matt, go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to comment on Nick Foles and also Steak and Eggs. I forgot to say it, guys.
Yeah,
I blew it. But not only should the Dolphins be, like, clamoring for him, or all these, like, suckbag teams, like, you can really throw out, like, 16 teams that should be going after this guy, but tell me how the Patriots should go after them. And I know Belichick isn't going to, you know, put up what he's probably worth on the trade market, but Nick Foles is literally the perfect transition guy, because you're not going to hit a draft pick that's going to take over Brady in 2 years.
The problem is he's 30. He's 30.
He is 30, but, you know, Tom Brady isn't the only guy that can play, you know, around age 40. Drew Brees is 39. Phil Rivers is like 38. Like, it's not that crazy. Guys can play into their 30s nowadays. And I know you know that's true. I mean, it's not really, like, proven beyond the past 10 years, but that is happening right now. And
sure,
all I'm saying is I think Nick Foles is really just, I've never been convinced by these, like, quarterbacks that come out of nowhere and just, like, blow it up in the postseason. But, like, Nick Foles is the real deal, man. He's really good.
The problem is, in a year, Brady's not going to be ready to step aside.
And the problem
and
is
Foles,
also...
Foles is going to be a free agent.
And you need that draft capital anyway. I mean, if you're going to win right now, you need that draft capital.
I would agree.
So you can blow it.
Yeah, Bert Breer just sat in here, and you talked about all the core players going to be 29 years of age or older. You got to draft some people.
Yeah.
So who's going to get Foles? Like, I'm wondering, like, what team would be perfect to get Nick Foles?
There are a lot of teams that need a quarterback. There are a ton of teams that need a quarterback.
Sure, but to get one that is, like, 30 years old, and he's going to demand a lot of money.
You're telling me, the caller's right, you're telling me the Dolphins wouldn't trip over themselves to try and get Nick Foles?
Yeah, well, they're one of the teams. Yeah, they would definitely be.
Dolphins would give away a one for Foles. You kidding me?
Yeah, and
of course they would.
No one in the no one else in the AFC East.
No,
Pittsburgh wouldn't.
No,
Baltimore might think about it, but they can't.
We got to talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, you know what would be awesome? The Chargers, not the Chargers, the Raiders. Because you got Gruden, who's
obsessed with
Nick Foles.
No, he and Carr are buddies. Not Derek.
No, I think that I don't think he likes Derek Carr. I think that he just says those things because he likes torturing him.
Look at you.
He loves
it's
Nick
acupuncture.
Foles.
don't be such a wuss. It's acupuncture.
I mean, he's sent some weird stuff at quarterback camp before. Gruden has, but Foles was the weirdest.
Yeah, you're like, look at you. I'm gonna slap you in the face.
So that would be amazing.
You're a real piece of garbage, you know that?
And then all of a sudden, Foles is going to suck. Because he's going to have to
stink. We've seen it happen before.
Oh, sure.
Scotty Mitchell, baby.
I mean, Foles had that one great season for Philadelphia. What was it, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions?
Yes.
And then fell right off the table. And he was a lot younger than he is now.
Well, I mean, if you put together 2 great postseasons, like if he continues to play, then it's like...
Buyer beware. Buyer beware, there are a dearth of good quarterbacks in this league. Someone will spend a one on Foles, especially if he wins this weekend, and Philadelphia say, here, take him.
I wouldn't even think it's a dumb move. Like, if you're someone like Miami, and if he, like, ends up going to, I don't know, let's say he goes to the NFC Championship, and they spend a first-round pick on him, if I'm a Miami fan, I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have no problem
right
with that.
Up until week seven when you're 3-4 again.
Well, I mean, what else is Miami going to do? Honestly, what else are they going to do?
Draft another one. Yeah.
My friend Foles right here, look at him. He's got that long Arizona hairstyle. You guys have the beards working.
Wow, Foles has changed a lot, apparently. Because now he's just like a nerd.
He's Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. Look at that hair. Look at that flowing hair. I can't tell what you are.
That was back in his freewheeling hippie days.
Yeah, look at you, hippie. What are you going to burn bras? You can take on the man. All right, Troy Brown going to be in studio this hour for the 7 o'clock hour. We have a big contest announcement at 8:20. Jim Irsay was being Jim Irsay all over the place after the Indianapolis win. Non-coherent.
He's fantastic.
I mean, legitimately non-coherent.
I tried, and at 8 o'clock we'll get into it. But I tried to, like, decipher it. Like, you know, like you look at hieroglyphics and you try to figure out. I was trying to figure out what exactly he was trying to say.
I'm a rainmaker.
And I think I figured it out.
No, you haven't.
I tried. Listen, I watched it like three times straight. And I believe I might speak a little bit of Jim Irsay.
Okay.
I'm a rainmaker, man. You guys know me. I'm a rainmaker.
And I don't know why.
Now, is he a lawyer? That is, that's one interpretation of it.
Oh, the word rainmaker?
Yeah, like that's if you get like a bunch of clients, right?
I think he misused the word. Rainmaker, right, is usually someone who brings in a bunch of money. It doesn't have just to be a lawyer. It could be in any job. Like someone who brings in a bunch of money. However, I think he was using it improperly, trying to be like, I don't mean to rain on your parade.
Oh, okay.
So he's a rainmaker.
Or maybe he was making it rain at the club.
Maybe he just randomly threw that in there.
You know me. I'm addicted to pills.
I don't know why he was so embarrassed. His face was super red the entire time.
Why do you think that was?
It's a Croatia.
Probably a sunburn.
All right. We'll catch up with everything that happened yesterday in just a moment.
95 Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, you knew the Ravens meant business when they showed up to the game in creepy masks. Yes, Halloween masks, which ended up being the Letterman's jacket you can wear on your face. Hey, you know who pretty much sucked the whole first half? Lamar Jackson.
44. Yes. Up in the air, intercepted. Picked off by Phillips. He was trying. Jackson was trying to connect with Chris Moore. And it's just a high ball.
Yeah, it was awful. At the half, Lamar Jackson only given the Ravens 46 total yards of offense. It was so bad that people were even clamoring for Joe Flacco. Matter of fact, I kind of expected it to happen.
It should have happened. Lamar Jackson had a 0.0 passer rating.
Negative 2 yards passing early in the fourth quarter.
Now, part of that was because the Chargers defense was ruthless. They had a whopping 7 sacks in the day, an interception, 2 fumble recoveries, but then Lamar Jackson at least started to make it interesting.
Snap it if you want to get a playoff before 2 minutes.
They do. Jackson rolling out. Got to make a throw. Crabtree has it. And they say he's inside the one.
Yep, but then with the ball in the hands of the Ravens down by 6 with less than a minute in the game, Lamar Jackson giveth. And Lamar Jackson taketh away.
Just get 10 yards right over here. He'll catch it and move up the sideline.
Pressure on. The ball comes out. The ball comes out, and it's recovered by the Chargers. It was taken out of his hands. Ochenna Nwosu. And that will end it.
Yep. Womp, womp. A forced fumble ends it. 23-17, the final score. But as shaky as Lamar Jackson looked yesterday, he arguably statistically had a better game than Phillip Rivers, who only threw for 160 yards and not one TD pass on the day.
I don't care. That was all luck by John Harbaugh. He had no idea that was coming.
And also, the Phillip Rivers described it as they were always playing with a short field. So if you go by yards passing,
how many times did Jackson give him the football inside the 30?
Right,
I mean, that's crazy.
I wonder how many games this season has he not had a passing touchdown? That might be the only one. for as great as he's played all year long.
Lamar Jackson?
No, Phillip Rivers.
Oh.
Phillip Rivers didn't have a passing touchdown yesterday.
Well,
which I found kind of interesting, but it took him
forever to score from the one. I mean, they had to get. I mean, there's never been more replays in the history of a game than there were yesterday.
Yeah, that was just an all-ref weekend. A lot of strangeness in all of these games. But the most fertile redneck in America, Phillip Rivers, he's moving on to play Tom Brady this weekend. And, boy, is he plumb fired up.
Heck, yeah. Heck, yeah, it is. It is special. And, just like I always told you, look over and it's Peyton Manning, you know, on the other side. I'm not playing those guys, but I have a great deal of respect, fan of those guys, you know, and so to get an opportunity again to go against them 11 years after we had that opportunity in the 2007 season, it's awesome.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers 0-7 against Tom Brady. And, Trojans 0-7 against Phillip Rivers, apparently.
I think 0-9.
0-9 is
that what nine kids.
Okay, nine kids.
Yeah, or right.
Wife. He has nine kids.
That can't be healthy.
I mean, how do you make the seventh and eighth and ninth? I mean, that's got to be a territory.
After a while, just like, all right.
No, but a territory you don't want to be in anymore. I mean, that's a lot of large things going on.
You just kind of go, all right, put that one in the corner. I got dishes to clean.
Honey, why don't you stand over there? I'm going to sleep in the other room tonight.
I mean, the human body is not conditioned to have nine children. I can only imagine what it's like.
Yep.
I mean, there has to be some sort of surgical procedures to get things back relatively normal.
Yeah, you would think so. Not a lot of feeling.
It's a lot of large things being ejected. I mean, can't be overly pleasant.
No, not at all. Well, John Harbaugh yesterday was talking about Lamar Jackson, praises Joe Flacco as well. Is this the end of the Flacco era with the Ravens?
I mean, Lamar's our quarterback going forward. There's no question about that. Joe Flacco is going to play really well in this league. Joe can still play. I think we saw that the first half of the season. Joe's going to have a market. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to want Joe because they understand that. I'll be in Joe's corner wherever he's at, you know, unless we play him. I mean, Joe Flacco is a great talent. He's an even better person. He's the best quarterback in the history of the Ravens, without question. I don't think that's not even just because I'm biased. That's just a fact.
That Trent Dilfer just goes, well, what are you going to do?
A Super Bowl.
That's right. So is this another Miami thing? Are they in the running for Joe Flacco as well?
Of course they are. Sure. Of course they are. Why wouldn't they be?
I give a seventh round pick for Flacco.
It's going to come a lot cheaper than Foles. Tell you that.
Yep. Well, so Yosemite Sam's coming to Gillette this Sunday at 1 p.m. And as of now, Vegas is the Pats. As just a slight favorite at 4.5 points. Good news, it's going to be cold. They're predicting low 20s on Sunday, which I'm sure is going to be more than welcome to the Los Angeles-based players.
And by the way, I mean, obviously, a 1 p.m. start benefits the East Coast team 100% of the time. But the other thing is, if you're the Chargers, why don't you stay on the East Coast? You get acclimated to the cold as much as you can in a week. You get acclimated to the time zone. I mean, you don't have to go 4 cross-country flights in 8 days. I mean, why not just stay here this week?
Well, you would have thought that hopefully they'd have the foresight to think that the Patriots could have been one of the teams they would have played and they would have packed for it.
You can bet your ass if Bill Belichick had to play Seattle 1 week and then won that game to get to this round and had to play the Chargers the next week, they'd have stayed in California this week.
I don't know. San Diego's a very run-heavy team. I don't think that weather's going to bother them.
It's Los Angeles, Fred.
Oh, yeah, right. It's Los Angeles. My bad.
Rivers, after the game, is bitching about, we're going to go cross country and then we're going to fly back here again on Saturday, but we don't care. Well, I think your team should care. I mean, some foresight would prevent this.
In all honesty, if you're flying on a private plane and you do it all the time, I mean, I have a friend who goes to Korea for the day. I don't think that it's that overly big a deal.
I mean, you'd prefer not to. I think that it would have been a decent thing to plan for, but it's not going to be a make or break type situation.
I think it's the cold.
I mean, that'll be a big deal.
The cold, the 1 p.m. start, and the cross-country trips. I think all factor in for the Patriots.
The best offensive players are running is a running back. I don't think that that's going to affect them.
Who might be somewhat hurt, right?
Yeah, Gordon looked like he hurt.
Everyone's
hurt his knee.
Sure.
Everyone's hurt.
I mean, but the passing offense has been fantastic this year for Phillip Rivers. It's just not this past weekend. So
Baltimore's got a great defense.
They do.
Yeah, they do have a great defense, and the Patriots don't.
Well, also, Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa are going to be giving Tom Brady nightmares for the next week. Yeah, I mean, they looked awesome.
They only rushed four almost the entire game.
They had seven defensive backs for, like, the majority of the game.
Yes, I read that as well.
Yeah, I read that too, yeah.
Well, Tom Brady, for one, is jacked. I know this because he put out a borderline profane message in a pic on Instagram. It's a picture of him face-to-face with Phillip Rivers, and it says, "See you next Sunday in Foxborough. Let's have some fun. Hashtag LFG," which I believe means let's fudging go, except he didn't mean fudge.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like is, like, really, really excited.
Number 12's mine is more like number 2 in that it's in the toilet, sir.
Hey, now, working blue. He's saying,
Yep.
Ah, take that, Rivers.
Well, as far as the rest of the team,
we're old.
They are very old. Well, the Patriots, according to Mike Florio, are reportedly preparing for Josh McDaniels to leave, and USC offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury is seen as a candidate to replace him as OC. Here's some of the report.
This year, the Patriots, I'm told, are preparing for McDaniels to leave, with the Packers and the Browns being the two most viable opportunities for McDaniels this time around. So if he goes, who takes over for McDaniels? Keep an eye on USC offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. He's only been there a month, and he's been blocked from interviewing for head coaching jobs. I'm told he may quit, pay a very low buyout, and go back and pursue NFL opportunities.
Okay, so, yeah, apparently they're not letting him interview for head coaching, but he's like, all right, screw it. I might take this Patriots gig. In the meanwhile, I guess a report came out, and I don't know if it was from Manish Mehta, but I guess that the Jets, like, covet Mike McCarthy. He seems to be the guy that they truly want. Which,
not I mean, good.
Which, now, why would you think that was a bad thing?
I think that he's, the time has passed him by. The idea you only got one Super Bowl and you've had Favre and Rodgers as your quarterbacks is very disappointing. I don't think that what you've done in the past has anything to do with what you're doing now. He lost complete control of that team. I do not like that hire at all. None. I don't like it. And it
so
seems,
you think they should do the college, like the college coach thing? Like, I mean, as
first
far as
of all, I know nothing about any of these guys, but apparently Iowa State has got the guy that everyone thinks is brilliant. But I don't know anything about these guys. I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't know about, like, offensive coordinators, and I don't know follow Iowa State football, but McCarthy I do know, and I don't think that he's appropriate for the market. And I'm not wild about the idea of him coming in and work. He did work with Rodgers, and I guess he fixed his mechanics, but that was 10 years ago.
I also find it amazing that Cliff Kingsbury is in such demand by everybody. I mean, he got fired as a college football head coach, and everyone wants him as either a head coach. Now, I can kind of see the – I mean, I think Belichick drafted him in 03. I mean, he was on injured reserve. Didn't play here, but he was like a third quarterback for this team – what, 14, 15 years ago, whatever it was. But, and usually Belichick hires from within, right? I mean, McDaniels, Mangini, I mean, the guy ascends through the ranks.
Right.
When McDaniels was going to leave last year, Chad O'Shea was supposed to be the guy to replace him. What's changed?
I mean, yeah,
why is it Kingsbury? I see the Patriots connection. Belichick's familiar with him. I get it. But just bringing him in out of nowhere to be offensive coordinator, it just seems kind of weird for this team.
And we've kind of seen this coming, but you know, a bunch of reports are saying that most people now don't really give a rat's ass about bringing in a defensive coordinator to be a head coach anymore. It's all about the offense. It's all about these young OCs.
Yeah.
Everyone wants a guy like the Rams. You know, everyone wants a Sean McVay. And maybe they've seen what's happened with Matt Patricia, and they're like, well, okay.
Yeah, maybe so, that's not the best
idea. Maybe this might not be the best move.
Well, especially if you have a young quarterback. You definitely want to get someone who can work with quarterbacks. What else is coming up, Rich?
All right, let's talk about the other game of the weekend. The double doink, as Chris Collinsworth named it yesterday.
I think it was cute too. He had similar outfits on him and what's his face.
They both wore very nice sweaters.
But the
him and Al Michaels wore very nice sweaters.
Yeah, him and Al Michaels. They had like one had an undershirt that was the same color as the other guy's sweater, and the other guy's had an undershirt that was
color coordinated. Both of them could sit in easy chairs next to a fire.
I had two friends going, "What the hell's going on?" I had two friends text me and go, "What is this? What is this shenanigans?" The double doinker. Apparently, this guy loves posts. According to what they showed yesterday, after he hit the post, apparently it happened three times against the Lions.
All right.
Toucher and Rich are always with you.
That's just gross.
Open the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, and you'll be listening to Boston's home for sports. It's just that simple.
Okay, you sold me.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Nine at five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else happened yesterday?
Well, down by one with 10 seconds left, the Bears had put themselves in position to kick a 43-yarder to win their first playoff game in what seems like forever. Kicker Cody Parkey, who had missed 11 field goals or extra points this season, quickly nails one through the uprights just after the Eagles called a timeout to ice him. And you know what almost always happens after they make the first one that didn't count.
Oh, he hits the upright again. That's impossible. And the Eagles run out into the field, but there's still 5 seconds. So they've got to get back. He does it again.
Oh, it hits the uprights. It hits the crossbar. Then it hits the ground without going in. Bears choke, and Nick Foles is moving on. 16-15, the final score. Collinsworth called it the double doink, and to that, Jimmy Stewart instantly put on his timeline a picture of wrestling phenomenon Doink the Clown and his twin brother, which I actually thought that was clever and enjoyed. There is now video, however. Was Dink the brother? It was Doink and Dink, I think, if I'm mistaken. So,
yeah. They're not your average clowns.
They are not.
They thirst for blood.
They do. They're bloodthirsty clowns. Well, there is now video, however, that the Eagles' Trayvon Hester tipped the ball. Something that, for some weird reason, was not seen on the broadcast, but indeed there is video out there of the ball being tipped by Trayvon Hester. However, that is Parkey's sixth time this season hitting the crossbar or the uprights this year.
But he did four times against the Lions in
the
one
same
game.
That's amazing.
And then he went into the prayer huddle at the end of the game, to which I would say, what an odd time to pray.
I'm just saying.
You've
It's not helping.
No.
Maybe saying, please don't murder me, Chicago fans.
You said God has smited you.
Well, because the city of Chicago, at least they're not known for being a-holes at sporting events to people who may have had a part in their team losing Steve Bartman. But here is the sound of Parkey leaving the field after that prayer circle yesterday. Sounds pleasant.
Yeah, he got in that prayer circle, and I'm like, get off the field.
Honest to God. I mean, that was not him walking off the runway. That's like a run all the way from midfield all the way to the tunnel.
Yeah, because he got in the prayer circle. If I'm him, I'm getting the hell off the field. Do your own praying.
Well, but give Cody Parkey credit. The dude sat at his locker and answered every single question that came his way.
Unfortunately, I mean, I can't make this up. I hit the post, six times this year, and I hit it twice on that one.
How about the upright and then the crossbar?
Like I said, I mean, you can't make this up. I mean, I feel terrible. Let the team down. That's on me. So I have to own it. I have to be a man. And, you know, it's unfortunately, that's the way it went today.
Your teammates quickly consoled you. I mean, does that help in that situation? Or are you just numb? Or?
Of course. I mean, that's one of the worst feelings in the world to let your team down.
Anything go wrong on the kick mechanically?
No, I thought I hit a great ball. Trying to play the wind.
So if you're wondering how the fans...
By the way, they kept saying it was a winless day. I mean, they said that several times before that kick.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's saying they're playing the wind. Maybe he shouldn't have played the wind.
Well, it was tipped.
But he kept saying he played the wind.
Yeah.
And they kept saying there was no wind. So who are you going to believe? Collinsworth or Jabroni, Captain Post.
I trust the guys with the matching outfits.
Yep. They weren't matching, but they were color coordinated.
So if you're wondering how the fans of the Bears are taking the loss this morning, let's go to a gentleman who filmed himself leaving Soldier Field. Who seemed to have quite a level head about everything.
8 million, 10 million, 25 million. I don't know how much Cody Parkey's getting paid, but that little from South Florida can't make a goddamn tick for his life. I mean, how much money we gotta pay this?
$25 million.
How much opportunity do you need? How many missed kicks is Cody Parkey gonna hit this year. 11. 11. That's how many. 11. Cody, you.
Okay, so by the way,
he's making $25 million.
However, how it was like how many years is that?
Oh no, just one.
Just one. By the way, to all the Bears fans ripping on Cody Parkey, A, he scored more points than anyone on your beloved team yesterday. And B, your team let Nick Foles score a touchdown because you only had 10 men on the field. And if your offense can't score more than 15 points against a 9-7 team, I guess you don't deserve to remain in the playoffs.
I don't. You got
to
make that kick. You're giving him too much.
I'm saying that yes, you should make that kick. However, the rest of the team pretty much sucked that game.
Well, you had a minute, you got it downfield with a garbage quarterback, and then you got to make that kick. I mean, that's the whole thing.
How do you do that? 10 men on the field when they end up scoring a touchdown. I mean, it was just embarrassing yesterday. So they're the Eagles will go on to play the Saints in New Orleans next Sunday night after the Patriots game, where the Saints are currently favored by a full 8.5 points. That should be an interesting one. Is that the biggest spread?
Yeah, Patriots have the thinnest. Patriots are only favored by 4.5.
Okay,
they're the lowest one on the board.
So the Chiefs, they're favored by 5.5. They're hosting the Colts. Rams are favored by 7. Hosting the Cowboys, and you're right. Right now it's 4.5 with the Patriots, and the Saints are getting 8.5. So there you go. Should be a great weekend. Should be interesting. And it's going to be cold as hell at Gillette Stadium if you're going to end up going. So 22 degrees, I think they're
saying.
Something
like that, yeah.
Somewhere around. I'm sure it might possibly change, seeing that we're a week out.
Well, so somewhat now it's going to be cold for the rest of the next couple months?
Yeah. No, oh, yeah, we're in the bullseye. This is it. January 1st to March 1st, you have 15 to 20 degree temperatures with snow. That's
on Friday, I took the dog for a nice 2.5 mile walk outside.
Yep.
It was nice.
You should have taken a picture. Should have bottled it. That's it. That's the end.
I don't know if you know that's a fact.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me make sure I have this right. You're thinking positively about New England weather?
Well, it's been great.
You're telling me I'm wrong?
Global warming is where it's at.
I see. Okay. I'm sorry. Having worked with you for 9 years, usually this is the period of time, and I'm usually right there with you where we complain for 2 months about how bad the weather is.
But it's been... No. 43, 45.
Okay. Good.
Tuesday. Now, Sunday's going to be cold.
Yeah.
And then 40 on Tuesday the 15th. I'll take that all day.
All right.
You keep that snow away. Now, our kids are going to have to clean up the mess and maybe move to Mars.
Yeah, no, that's true. Because the coast will be flooded. And,
right.
Yeah,
right.
So, everyone's going to have to move further inland.
Right.
I got it.
I'm not going to be alive to see any of that.
No, who cares about them?
No.
Right?
Well, you know, they're going to have to pull themselves up by the bootstraps.
Yep. By the way, I keep seeing commercials for the championship game tonight. You know the megacast is going to suck. Have you heard what they're doing? Because, you know, like before you had... Oh, God, just people randomly eating nachos and Bill Walton, like, scratching himself.
Yeah, he was dressed up as Uncle Sam last year.
I have a feeling, okay, from what I've been reading, like, one of the rooms is just going to be the Monday Night Football guys, right? Just kind of just commenting on the game.
Come on.
Like, they've toned it down.
Well, there's 6 different ways to watch.
All right. Well, how about this? When we come back, I will look up what all 6 are.
Yeah, because they just said it on TV.
Okay. Because I know one is just, like, the Spanish broadcast. Like, it's in Spanish. That's one of the supercast ones. But I want, because every year they always have one that makes it worth watching. The Feinbaum one is usually pretty good.
Yeah,
they take calls
during the game.
There's one on the SEC channel, so I'm going to imagine that's...
That's Feinbaum. It's got to be.
Why would you waste Feinbaum on that, though?
No, it'll be a simulcast. Feinbaum will do SEC Network and, like, ESPN Ocho or whatever he's doing.
You can't do that. You got to commit to one and whatever's going on over there. All right, we'll have that for you. We'll be right back. Hub. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Oh, my God. I'm looking at this right now.
Yeah, baby.
About the ESPN megacast, they call it,
you
where they
that,
have
right.
like a bunch of different channels and a bunch of different stuff online. And this one is the most convoluted and the least fun sounding that I've heard of in years. Okay, so if you go online, there are 17 viewing options, including the ones that are on TV, with over 250 plus camera angles that you can watch. As a matter of fact, There's one thing that's called, well, first of all, let's start with the easy one. That's the Monday Night Film Room, and that is going to have the Monday Night Football film, the Monday Night Football crew, Joe Tessitore, Jason Witten, and Booger McFarland.
Right.
And they're going to be there with Todd McShay, and they're just going to be watching the game, and you're going to hear them talking while they're doing it. And then the SEC Network, instead of having Feinbaum, is apparently going to have the cast of the TV show Thinking Out Loud.
Oh, I love that show that I never heard of.
Marcus Spears, Greg McElroy, and Alyssa Lang.
Oh, that's a triumvirate of people I've never heard of.
What? How about this? SportsCenter's Matt Barry and Elle Duncan, who used to work here, will be inside the Goodyear.
Elle Duncan worked here?
Yeah, she worked for Nesson
for like a minute.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant here.
No. We'll be inside the Goodyear blimp for the full duration of the game for the blimp cast feed. Why would you watch that? The viewing option will be Tri-Box, showing the duo in one screen, the game telecast in another, and the view from the blimp in the third. With the entire presentation accompanied by the two host commentary throughout the duration of the game, what do you think the streaming numbers on that are going to be?
A million.
You're probably right. The tech cast will spotlight the best of ESPN's innovation throughout the game with 12 camera views all around your screen. You can see the Skycam, High Skycam, Ref Cam, Pylon Cam, the All Cam, and the Marker Cam.
I wonder how many people that follow Alabama have access to any of this.
Right. They just have the can on a string.
Yeah.
Hopefully the neighbors, they can hear the neighbors' television.
Yeah. They got a cable running from like two houses down into their TV.
The data center on ESPN3. Features on-screen graphic content, including analytics, real-time drive charts, win probability updates, and blah, 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 blah. And then there's also just like a sky. Oh, there's an All-22 channel. That'll be great, where you can just see the overhead shot and who the hell's going to want to watch that live. The hometown radio aspect, that is a partnership that they have with the radio broadcast from both Alabama and Clemson. Well, they repair the ESPN telecast with the hometown radio call.
What's the Bama one sound like? I wonder.
It's got to be great. It's probably some dude who's been doing it for like 50 years.
And there ain't no flag. No. There's got to be that guy, right?
It's probably some old dude who's over it. He's been doing it for like 50 years.
And he's won so many titles in a row that it's just like old hat. They like trotted out someone who played there 50 years ago.
I got to look that up.
There's no like maniac factor. Like there's nothing here that makes me want to go, all right, this could be a disaster. I think I want
to
watch it.
How fun would it be to like have the drunk channel?
Just drunk people watching it?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be great. That's kind of like what it was that year. It was Walton, what's his name? Stink, Mark Schlereth was there. And Mark Schlereth was just like picking his nose and eating nachos. And then there was,
Bill Walton just, they had in there just, to, he just, he would come out.
He dressed as Uncle Sam. Yeah,
but when he came out as Uncle Sam, he's like, hey.
I'm Uncle Sam.
He's like, hey, look at me.
We're prop comic. He's, what are you, what are you doing? Wait.
I don't know. I'm just Uncle Sam. Huh? It's funny.
This
has no place in this.
I need Ray Lewis, Jim Irsay. Like, just pack the room with, like, our favorite people. Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Oh, look at this.
Be great.
Look at this. Bill won't come out as a funny clown. No, I'm the Uncle Sam. No, you ain't my uncle.
Can I play the grand prize game?
I want to play. Yeah, I can get the ping pong ball into every bucket.
You can win a crisp $50 bill at the end.
Yeah. Some kids missed the first one, which is just sort of sad.
Whenever that happened, I was like, what the hell?
Because you just had to bend down and put it in.
There's no balance on these children. Did you see him kick off the Ravens game?
I did not.
Okay, we'll have audio of it, of course, later on.
Oh, I did. I'm looking forward to it.
He had to give a motivational speech.
Hey, y'all. Lamar Jackson, you suck. I look forward to hearing that.
Yeah, it was not quite as epic as the motivational speech that he gave to both the Patriots and the Falcons before the Super Bowl from his half-built garage.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? He just looked like a maniac wandering around screaming
at the... It's a work in progress.
Yeah, it barely was. Just screaming at the pink, what's it called, the fiberglass that was stuck in his wall.
Yeah, it's insulation.
The installation just sitting there. Right?
Me and the Pink Panther. Pink Panther's installing this stuff, according to the television.
Yep. So maybe the blimp cast is the star. Maybe that's the one I need to watch.
That's the one that doesn't seem
at all fun to do. Like, hey, you're giving me a blimp for 5 hours. Oh, great.
No, I think that they're not actually even in the blimp. It's just got people talking while the blimp looks down on the field.
That makes no sense. You got to put someone in the blimp.
You got to put them in the blimp.
Right, because it has to be an air of danger that it makes you crash.
Yeah, there is. It's like
No, they are.
Yep. I'm up here. People look real small.
Okay, they are.
It's couldn't really see that play from here, Tom, but
Matt
thank
Barry
you.
Matt Barry and L. Duncan will be inside the Goodyear blimp.
You know that you're a big star at the network when they put you in the blimp. They're actually inside of Louis Anderson.
They should float a Louis Anderson up there.
Yeah. I'm a blimp.
Yes, you are Louis Anderson. Yes. Yeah. That is something that you are. All right, well,
I'm
Brad.
I'm insulting myself before you can do it.
And finally, before we have the great Troy Brown in studio to help preview this upcoming matchup with the Chargers, Brad Stevens seems to be very happy that Kyrie and Marcus Morris might be coming back soon.
Both practiced full today. I don't know what that means for tomorrow for Marcus specifically. Every indication is Kyrie will be playing, and Marcus looked great.
Yep, and Kyrie Irving commented on the condition of both of his eyes.
How are the eyes?
It's okay. Right eye had a scratch in it. Left is pretty inflamed, so just waiting for it to kind of calm down. And it's going to take time, but I'll be in for tomorrow.
Is it just a pain thing? Was it visual, too?
Mainly visual, yeah. I make my living with my eyes, my whole entire body, but my eyes are just one of the most important things that I need to play this game. So it was just swollen, light sensitivity after the initial hit. Watched it a few times and trying to figure out whether or not it was malicious or not, but I don't think it was, so I'll let it go.
So expect them back soon.
Yeah, and they get back to not playing well.
Did you see on Friday, by the way, all of the talking heads discussing the Danny Ainge comment that was on our show?
Yeah.
Shannon Sharpe, and of course.
Yeah, they would address the comment, and then they would move into who was the best player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot there to sink your teeth into about the thing.
It kind of shied away from that one.
Except the kid with the mullet from the Boston Globe.
Does he have a mullet? I didn't even see what his picture looked like.
He's woke.
Okay, all right. He's got a woke mullet.
Yeah. 21-year-old guy.
Nice.
Yeah, he's got a lot to say. A lot of life experience. All right. We will have Troy Brown. You know, the Celtics, they need people missing. You understand that.
They seem to play very well.
It's so strange because with Kyrie Irving out and Marcus Morris out, the two most dependable players in that team, all of a sudden, Jaylen Brown's playing lights out. Gordon Hayward has been playing lights out. And it's, what are they, 20 points they end up beating Dallas by? Dallas isn't a great team, but they're a good team.
They beat Dallas senseless.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely made them look awful.
And they couldn't give Dirk couldn't get anything in. They weren't even guarding him.
Yeah, they were cheering him on. Like, come on, make the shot. Dirk couldn't make it.
Nope.
Couldn't do it.
Nope. I would have done it. I would have given him a slam-a-rama.
Would you?
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.